Good morning, Saints. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for the word of encouragement and just focusing us in on that and to be thankful. It is that time of year. Let's open our Bibles once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, for the third part of a message I've entitled The Use of Spiritual Gifts. Yes, the third part. It's part three in here. And I was as I was going through my study during the week, and I always have this thing. You guys have that in your Bible? You know, I stabbed that in there, and I'm always flipping it open. I'm on 1 Corinthians. I've tore every page at the bottom in Corinthians so far in doing that. I've just kind of keep doing that. So this week I was taping them, and then I got them stuck together, and it was like I was starting to panic. I couldn't get chapter 12 and 13 apart, and because I had the tape wrong and I had two-sided tape, and I was really panicking, and I just wanted to share that with you today, just in the uniqueness, the time that we've been in 1 Corinthians and studying God's word. Last week, we focused on verses 4 through 7, where we talked about the source of spiritual gifts. Today, we're going to look at verses 8 through 11, where we'll discuss the variety of those gifts for the common good. So we're just kind of going to flow like in that. Let's just read the passage this morning, verses 1 through 11, to kind of set our heart back into what Paul is saying and what he's talking about here and what God is speaking to our life about. And here Paul writes, chapter 12, verse 1 through 11, he writes this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Now, remember what I told you. That goes all the way through chapter 14. It's all about concerning spiritual gifts and about us not being unaware of and not knowing some things. So he writes this. He says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and one another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." What a great passage, huh? With what Pastor Tom read today, and just the distinguishing facts, the distinguishing truths about the difference of God's creation, on how we have different things in our life, but distributed diversity, but the unity of the body of Christ. And Paul is just teaching on that. And we've been going through that. Paul's desire here is for the Corinthians, listen to this, to have a clear and complete understanding of spiritual gifts. You know, that's God's desire for you and me. Not to be confused, not to be kind of, you know, lost or not understanding. God wants us to have a clear and concise and complete understanding of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul's desire, God's desire for us, that we would know the importance of them. This is what we've been looking at, that we wouldn't be unaware of God's purpose for them, that we wouldn't be uninformed of the use of them, that we wouldn't be ignorant of God's way of them, that we wouldn't be scared of them or not knowing of them or any of those kind of things. He wants us to know, using your illustration, how we can run and climb and fly and swim and those kind of things, and how God has purposed those, and how God is using those, and how they interact in the body of Christ. He doesn't want us to be unaware. Spiritual gifts are a divine enablement. We've talked about this. Given to each one of us by God for mutual ministry where God is at work growing his church. That's a great little definition of what we're talking about. Spiritual gifts, they are given, God-given capacities that which the Holy Spirit ministers to the church and to the lost through us. Each of us has them. Each of us is to exercise them for the purpose of building Christ's church. That's foundational to all of our study of spiritual gifts. That I just said, that we all have them, they're divine enablements which God has given for mutual ministry. As we work together, we're to exercise them for the purpose of building Christ's church. It's foundational to our understanding of the spiritual gifts as we go through them. The Corinthians are misusing them. They're perverting them, their gifts, especially the speaking gifts. They're not using them rightly. In their pride and arrogance, this is just reviewing, they are seeking after the showier gifts, the ones that bring attention to themselves, the ones that lift them up or exalt them, or the ones that everybody recognizes, woohoo, you got that gift, and they're just going after it in that way, and they're in their misuse or counterfeiting of them. They are speaking and teaching against the true nature, the true character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is addressing that. He's correcting that. He's confronting that. And he begins by teaching on, let me tell you, the source of gifts. That's in 4 through 7, what we looked at last week. So obviously the Corinthians are thinking in their heart and mind as they're going this way, somehow God isn't the source of it all. They're somehow part of the source of it. And then we looked at it last week. Look at verse 4 through 7 with me. The source of the gifts are God. Listen to what he wrote. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, what he says is the Spirit, the spiritual gifts, the gifts that you have are grace gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. The ones you have, the ones I have, the ones we have, the one the church has, they're grace gifts given by the Holy Spirit. There's a variety of them, but they're given by the Holy Spirit. And he said the ministries that are there, that they function in, are assigned by the Lord. That's what it means when he says, and there are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. The Lord Jesus is assigning the work, the service, the ministry of his church and what he wants to get done. And then he says the effects are brought about by God, what God desires to bring about through them, to make effective, to energize, to empower. So the effects, what it happens, what the outcome, what goes on is by God's energy, by God energizing them, by God bringing about what he desires. So we're learning and looking. God's the source of all of this. We're not the source. We're not making it happen. The Holy Spirit is in charge of giving the grace gifts. The Lord Jesus is in charge of how they function in the ministries, and God is working all of these things, empowering them to bring about the building of his church. So it's about him. He's the source, and we looked at that last week. And there are a variety of gifts we looked at. We don't have an exhaustive list. Did you know that? They're distributed in many ways. We talked about that last week. They come forth in the interaction of our lives. As we interact, they come forth. They come out. They're used. The Holy Spirit used them. They're not for you. They're for us. There are a variety of ministries that the gifts function in. We looked at that last week. They function corporately, mutual ministry. They function together, and there are a variety of effects, different empowerments to bring about what God is doing. And he said they're given for the common good, for God's purpose. The common good of us, for our common good, is the growth and the building of Christ's church. And that's what we looked at last week. Now we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. And here Paul says there's a variety of gifts. It's a representative of the variety. It's not all of the variety. It's a representative lift. So he goes on and says, well, some's been given this gift, some have that gift, some have this gift. It's representative of the varieties, and they all work for the common good, for the building of his church, for our good, for our sanctification, for salvation, for our growth, for our relationship with Christ, for our relationship with God, to grow, to flourish, for us to come to the knowledge and the truth of the Lord Jesus, all of that for the good of the church, for the building of his church. Like I said, it's not exhaustive, just representative, verses 8 through 11. I would say to you that they're foundational gifts given to the beginning of the church, these ones here, and you're going to see them. Look at them, 8 through 10. Listen to what he says. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Holy Spirit is working all these things, distributing to them each one as he wills. Now he doesn't explain the use of them, or how they function, or what they are, but they're used for the common good. Now I want you to note something here. They function in a variety of ministries. These gifts function in a variety of ministries with a variety of effects. And we're going to pay attention to that as we go through them and look at that, because it can be important as we note that. It's important as to how they function, what variety they're in, and the variety of effects that they have. We can only define them by Scripture, how the Scripture defines them. We can only talk about, Scripture's pretty general in how it defines these. And so we're going to look at them and walk through it in that way and just kind of talk about them a little bit and see what they are. So the first gift that he has in there, verse 8, he says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, what's the word of wisdom? Write this down. It's a speaking gift. The word of wisdom is a speaking gift. It's speaking the word of wisdom. It says it's a word of God's divine truth. It's that way. Now, all of us seek the wisdom of God. Can I get an amen there? Absolutely. We all want to know the wisdom of God. We want to know the truth of God. We want to know God's word. We're all to be seeking the wisdom of God, to know who his truth, his word. Proverbs 2 says it this way, make your ear attentive to divine wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For the Lord God gives wisdom, for from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So we all want to learn God's word, God's truth, and we want to share it. Do you want to share God's word? Do you want to speak God's word, share God's word with your children, with your neighbor, your friends, those kind of things? Yeah, we would, right? So this is all that we want to do. This is all that God is having the church do and be a part of. But he says one's been gifted, or some have been gifted, or many have been gifted with the word of wisdom, to speak or to share the word of wisdom. Now, so what is that? What is he talking about? Ephesians 1:17 says this. We are to pray that God will give us a spirit, a heart's desire of wisdom in the knowledge of him, or in the knowing of him. That's very relational, isn't it? That we're to pray and ask God that we would have a wisdom, that we would have the understanding of truth and the application of truth in our knowing of God. That's what he's talking about. There's some in the church that have been given the gift to speak, to say, to talk about, to share the word of wisdom. It's relational about God. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:9, listen to this, that we are to ask God to be filled with the knowledge of his will. God, show us your will, what you desire, what you want, in spiritual wisdom. Very relational. How many times this week have you asked God to show you what he wants you to do in your life, what his will is for you and the things that you got going on, and the will that God has for you in life, and that he would show you in a spiritual wisdom application how you can live out God's will for your life this week? See, it's very relational. That's what he's talking about here. So it's about our relationship with God. Listen to some definitions of it. Wisdom is the application of God's truth in relationship with God. God has gifted some in the church family with the ability to speak a word of wisdom. It's how to regulate our relationship with God. We all want to do that. We all want to encourage in that. But some have the ability to share how everything relates to your relationship with God. Don't you know some of them in the church? Think about them in the church. How many people in the family you've got here? It just seems like when you talk to them, or you're in a group with them, or you're in the shepherding group, or you're in a Bible study, or you know, those kind of things, they just seem to have a word of wisdom on how this works out in our relationship with God and how our life flows in that way. And they have the ability to share that or speak that or teach it. You think that's pretty valuable in the body of Christ? You think that's pretty valuable in the family of God? Hey, dads, how valuable is it in your family for you to just kind of share how this works out and how our relationship with God goes, that we're redeemed by God, that redemption is from him, we're reconciled back to him, that we have forgiveness from God. God did forgiveness be through Jesus Christ. How important is it for your family for you to be able to just kind of talk about how this relationship with God works out, that we're to walk in forgiveness and we've been reconciled back to God, and he did this really before the foundation of the world, and he worked this out, and God knew our sin, and God knows us, and we can have this relationship. You would say that's totally important in your family, wouldn't you? So God has gifted some in the body of Christ to be able to share the word of wisdom, and that's what it is. It's to be able to talk about that and share that and help us all understand that. Now let me ask you, what variety of ministries do they function in? Certainly foundational in the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, right? The apostles are sharing the first time what it looks like to have a relationship with God. The prophets are prophesying or proclaiming and teaching about it. And the first pastors, teachers, are getting these things from God, learning and having to communicate them to the church. Very foundational. But think of how this fleshes out in very many ministries. How about youth ministry? How important is it to share with our young people what it looks like to walk in redemption and forgiveness and reconciliation? And the things that are true about God, to have wisdom, how that applies in your life, how do you live this life as a young person where you've been reconciled back to God? God redeemed you, purchased you with the blood of his son, and that is a plan and purpose for your life. It's very vital. Fleshes out in counseling and Awana. What's the variety of effects? Think of them. Encouragement, correction, hope. They're endless, aren't they not?
Moving on to the next one, the word of knowledge, to know. It's from learning or practice. It's similar but a differing gift. We all want to grow in our learning of God's word, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to grow. We want to know. We want to know. We want to know who he is. We want to learn who God is. We want to learn who Christ is. We want to learn God's way. Romans 15:14 says this. Paul writes, and concerning you, I'm convinced that you are full of goodness, filled with the knowledge, with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. Now let me ask you, we all are to work and grow in our understanding of God's word to where we can care and nurture and admonish and correct and help and love and all of those things with one another, right? Absolutely, right? You would say that's the word of God. God wants the family of God to that. He's gifted some in the church, some in the body of Christ, with a word of knowledge. They just seem to always, at those times, in those groups, in those things, have the way our life fleshes out with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just talking about, this is what it looks like to walk with the Lord. This is what it looks like to obey his word. This is what it looks like the principles of God. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, in your faith in Jesus Christ, listen to this, he said, supply moral excellence. So in your faith in Christ, hey, live moral lives. Apply that to your life. Live some morality. Think about that in your life. In your faith in Christ, supply moral excellence. You know what? Deal with your morality. Then he said this, in your moral excellence, apply knowledge. And in your knowledge, apply self-control. What's he talking about? So in your faith in Christ, you're supplying, you know, and walking with the Lord and learning Christ and wanting to honor him. You say, all right, I got to deal with my morality. But in my morality, I need to apply knowledge to know what it looks like to love Christ, to walk with Christ, to be a Christian. What it looks like to be a testimony of Christ. Apply the knowledge that you learn in the Word of God in your life. Then apply self-control. So now I have morality I'm dealing with. I'm living to learn to know how it looks like to walk with Christ and the principles of Christ, have a relationship with the Lord Savior. And then I'm applying self-control because I'm going to need that because I'm going to have to battle that I don't. This is what he's saying. Some of the church have been gifted with a word of knowledge. How it looks, to shine the light on what it looks like to walk in Christ, to even know Christ. Now let me ask you, what's the function of the ministries there? What's the variety of the ministries that functions in? Now certainly apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, foundation of the church. But it's also in many ministries, isn't it? We all desire to do that in our home. We all desire to do that in our family. We all desire to teach that, to share with that, to speak that. But God has amazingly has given some in this church to speak to how we walk with the Lord and how that fleshes out to build his church. He always has. He has here. He's equipped people. He's gifted people to do that. Variety effects, right? Now I want you to stay with me. I want you to see how we're looking at each one of these and seeing the variety of ministries they're in, and then the variety of effects. The effects are incredible, right? You can lead somebody out of sin. You can confront somebody. You can show them a path. You can turn a heart. You can connect your job or your marriage or your love for others to how it looks like following Christ. The third one in there is the gift of faith. Look at what he says in there. That's the third one he's sharing about, the gift of faith. Now, we all believers have faith in Christ, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Give me an amen there, right? We have faith in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a grace gift. Faith, gift of God. Same kind of idea we're talking about here. We all want to grow in our faith. We all want to learn to walk in our faith. We've been studying the faith that perseveres in Hebrews for 11 weeks. Got one more? 12. We had 13 this one. We want to grow in our faith. We want to walk in our faith. We want to live in the faith that we have. Each of us has a measure of faith. Now, get this. Some have a greater measure of it. Some in the body of Christ in the church have the gift of the Holy Spirit of faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:2. Look at that verse with me. Look at what Paul writes here. Now, I'm just buzzing kind of through these things, not going through them all, because I want us to capture the flow of this, and we'll have more time to teach on each one of these as we go. But look at verse 2, chapter 13. If I have the gift of prophecy, I think I should take a drink of water. What do you guys say? You should all say, amen, yes, take a drink. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and have all knowledge, I can't even read. Let me get my eyes on this. I'm having trouble seeing here, but I don't have my glasses to read with me today.
If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Did you see where he said there's all faith there? That means there's this extension, there's a growth, there's all faith. We don't have all the faith. There's more faith. If I had all the faith that you could have, we don't have all the faith. Do you have the faith of Jesus Christ? We have the faith in Jesus Christ, the faith that he's measured out to us, but all faith. There's more of it in a sense. That's what he's talking about. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11. We looked at this today. I want you to look at Hebrews 11 with me. And I want you to talk about this gift of faith, that how God has given it to the church, to summon the body of Christ, to have this gift of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 32 and following. I want you to look at this with me. Moving along here, here's what it says. Hebrews 11, verse 32 and following. I'll give you a moment to get there. Here's this great faith chapter. Here's the patriarchs of our faith. Here's all of the different things this is called. We've been going through it. Listen to verse 32 and following. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon or Barak or Samson or Japheth or David or Samuel and the prophets. Listen to this. By faith conquered kingdoms. By faith performs acts of righteousness. By faith obtained promises. By faith shut the mouth of lions. By faith quenched the power of fire. By faith escaped the edge of the sword. By faith from weakness were made strong. By faith became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. By faith women received back their dead by resurrection, and by others tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. By faith, others experienced mocking, scourgings, yes, also chains of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in the deserts and the mountains and caves and the holes of the ground. Now, let me ask you, that's pretty good faith, isn't it? Would you say that's pretty good faith? How many of you got faith to go get sawn in two? God's going to have to give some grace, right, for you to be sawn in two. You're going to have some grace, the gift of grace. Grace is going to have to come into your life. I'm convinced that the grace of God is adequate, sufficient, that we can go through all that we can go through. God has gifted some of the body of Christ in the church with this measure of faith to live through life and some difficult things to encourage the body of Christ. Such a great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 12, verse 1. What's the cloud of witnesses? That they stood for the Lord, had strong faith, had faith. The Holy Spirit gifted them to have faith in the midst of some difficult times. So such a great a cloud of witness to the church that we would lay aside every encumbrance and every sin that entangles us, and that we would run this race, fixing our eyes on Christ. God has made it in such a way, conformed the body of Christ, that there's some that have faith in the midst of very difficult things to encourage us all to run this race of faith. It's a Holy Spirit gift. He's done that. Paul did it. I wouldn't want his life in the sense of all he went through. The apostles, the variety of ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, men and women of God standing for the Lord. You can write mission fields and all that kind of thing. And I don't want to be prideful in any way, but I have the gift of faith. 19 years ago, God called me to himself. I was destitute, away from my family, living in a trailer. God showed me himself. It became real to me. I put my life in Christ. He transformed my life. 10 years ago, he said, sell everything that you have. Give away the business that you've done your whole entire life to go to seminary. I didn't have a job. I worked here for part-time, in a sense, a part-time thing here as I went there, but I pretty much gave everything up that I've known my whole entire life. And I went to seminary. And then something very hard, very difficult happened in my family at that time. And something very hard and very difficult happened in this church at that time. And I'm going to seminary knowing that God wants me to come here and to minister in this body of Christ, and I'm a couple of years in, and it takes me 8 years. Only by faith. Only by the faith and trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has for you. And what God is doing in your life. I'm kind of convinced in my life and knowing my life that because of these things, that how they are, there may be some more challenges ahead and for my life. Because God wants me to stand for the Lord, be a testimony of him in the midst of the difficulties and the things that go in life. You know why? to spur us all on to run. And there's some in the body of Christ that that's the way it is. There's some in the church that you go through some things in your life that God gifts you with faith to stand firm, to be a testimony of Christ in some very difficult things. You know why? To build his body of Christ. Because that's always the purpose for it. He's not against you. He's not like not with you. He's not like not loving you. It's not any of that. He's saying, I have this gift for you of faith that I want you to stand for me in the midst of these things because I'm going to use that to spur the body of Christ to live for me. That's almost embraceable, isn't it? That's the gift of faith. It's not what gets taught out there. It's not what's all out there that gets taught and gets all. And I'm going to stay out of all of those things and what they are. And I'm just going to teach what they are. Now, the next two are the gift of healings and the gift of miracles. Kind of moving along here. Now, at this moment, 54 AD, they function in the whole church. The gift of miracles, the gift of healings functions in the whole church. They're going on. They're happening. Paul said in Romans 15:19 that he proclaimed Christ to the lost in the power of signs and wonders in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was proclaiming Christ, your living Christ, proclaiming it and doing signs and wonders and miracles. It's going on. It's happening then. It's going on. We need to look at what it is. He says the Holy Spirit has gifted some to perform signs, miracles, and wonders. Why it's going on. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 2 says it this way, said God was testifying with the apostles by signs and wonders and by various miracles and all by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There were some in the whole church that had the gift of healings and the gift of miracles. And as Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, he said this, here's the gifts. They were to heal the sick. They were to raise the dead. They were to cleanse the lepers. They were to cast out demons. That was going on. It is absolutely incredible. Do you know that they, when Peter was coming around, because Peter was as given the gift as an apostle, to heal, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to heal leprosy. And he was doing that, and it was functioning. And then as God would show him, he just had the gift. He would just do that. They were trying to get into his shadow from the sun. Because if they could get into his shadow, they could get healed. You know, when Paul was in Ephesus, that he had the gift of healing, that it was on his handkerchief, and they would pass his handkerchief around, and somebody would be blind from life, and they'd get the handkerchief, and they'd see right then immediately. Think about that for a moment. That was going on. Now, what's the variety of ministries that it was going on in? This is important for us to look at and to know and to learn and to be taught. What's the variety of ministries that it was going on in? It was going on in the apostles and the prophets. It was going on in Christ and a few others. God had it going on in a variety of ministries. It wasn't happening in youth group. It wasn't happening in the Wana Club. It wasn't happening in the shepherding group. It wasn't going on in those variety of ministries. It was happening in some certain ones that God had gifted it for. And the extent of those gifts were what I just said. These gifts, Scripture tells us, were for Christ, Matthew 8:16-17. They were for the apostles, Matthew 10:1. They were for the 70 that Jesus sent out, Luke 10:1. And for a few associates of the apostles, Acts 8:5-7. And it was for all of them that were sent out by God to proclaim the kingdom of God, to proclaim and teach the gospel of God, God and his word, and the variety of ministries was that to build his church. Now, what's the variety of effects? The variety of effects were going on. What was God using these gifts to do? We've talked about it 3 times in gifts. This is important for us to just look at God's word and God's truth and how this works. What was he using the gifts to do? For Jesus, it was to show that he was the Son of God. For the rest that had it, it was to authenticate their message. See, they were preaching this and teaching this and saying this before this was written, the New Testament. They were getting up saying, thus saith the Lord, and this is what God has for us to do, and this is the gospel of God, and this is what Christ is, and this is who Christ before this is done. And you know what? In 54 AD, there was false people, false prophets, false people, false apostles standing up and saying, you need to listen to me. I'm a better apostle than Paul. Let me teach you what God's word says. And they were disguised apostles that were Satan's servants, 54 AD. We're very shortly into this. And they were standing up and saying what was not true, what was not right, what was not real, that you wouldn't save you, that wouldn't bring you to Christ, that wasn't the truth of Christ. They were standing up right then and there. And God, in his plan and purpose, had to authenticate, he had to affirm who was the ones that were speaking for Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, we'll look at it when we get there in 2 Corinthians, probably be a year and a half from now. But he's defending his apostleship. He says there's false people, false prophets, false apostles that are standing up speaking God's word, not as truth. And Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 12:12 writes this. Listen to what he writes, God's word. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs, wonders, and miracles. It was the authenticating thing going on there till the scripture was done that they were the ones speaking the word of God. That was the effect of the gifts. The gifts were given to authenticate God's message, God's word, through God's messengers. Guess what? They're no longer needed. These gifts are no longer needed. The ministry no longer exists of apostles, and the effects are no longer needed. I don't need to speak, have signs and wonders for you to authenticate whether I'm preaching the word of God, do you? No, you look at the scripture, you look at the Bible, you look at that, and you can hold me accountable. You can say, is that what God says? We can reckon, you know, reckoning and talk about, you know, the things that we're talking about, and we can go through that, but the scripture authenticates the scripture. And I don't need any gift to authenticate that it's the scripture. It's done. There is no apostles or prophets in these days. And the effects aren't needed anymore. So there's no gifts that were like that of healing and of miracles going on in our world today. Now, I need to say something in this. But God absolutely heals. And God absolutely does miracles. But it's through prayer and our faith and asking God and by his sovereign will and by what God decides in his grace. He heals, he raises the dead, he cleanses leprosy, he casts out demons. God does. But there's no one in our day given the gift to do that. God says, pray to me, seek me, and he'll do his will. But there's no one walking around with a gift of healing. Pastor Montoya, he was the pastoral ministry teacher at my seminary, the Master Seminary, and he ministered 35 years, still doing it down in East L.A., and he, sometimes people come up and say, I got the gift of healing, that kind of stuff. He says, let's go. Let's go. We'll go to the hospital, man. We'll get some people to come to Christ. Let's go. And he said, oh, well, it doesn't work that way. He said, well, if it doesn't work that way, it's not the gift that God gave, so let's not go. And really, that's what it is. It's to really be clear and have our understanding. God heals. God does miracles. I am a miracle. You're a miracle. God is saving and rescuing and healing and all those kind of things, but he doesn't have anybody with the gift anymore in the sense that they are the only ones that do that, because God is sovereign over that, and he wants us as his believers to have faith in him and come to him in relationship with him. And if he heals, we thank him and praise him. And if he doesn't, we thank him and praise him that he knows and that he is over our frame and that we can trust and believe in him. Next gift of prophecy. Got to move along here. Like when, as we go along here, we'll talk about more of these. Back to 1 Corinthians. He says the gift of prophecy. That's the ability to speak forth. You might want to write this down. The ability to speak forth the Holy Spirit-given message. The ability to speak forth the Holy Spirit-given message. To speak forth God's word. Back then, before it was written. Hey, we have the gift of prophecy. That's what he's talking about. The gift to speak forth God's word before it's written. All the Old Testament prophets had it. They would go and they say, thus saith the Lord. God is saying these things. This is what God wants us to know. This is what God says. That's what it is. That's what Old Testament prophets did. Now, they were just speaking forth. Listen to me. Listen to this. This is so you understand what this word means. They were speaking forth God's word. Sometimes in it was something that was predicted. But speaking forth the gift of prophecy has nothing to do with predicting anything. Has nothing to do with predicting anything. Now we'll look back and say, oh, Isaiah prophesied about these kind of things. Isaiah was speaking forth God's word, God's truth, and in it was something that was predictive. But he wasn't going, let me predict for you what God's going to do. Revelation, God is speaking in Revelation to John. John is writing Revelation. It's predictive, but it's God's word. He's speaking forth God's word. I'm speaking forth God's word. Tom, we're teaching, speaking forth God's word, God's truth. Sometimes as I'll speak for the coming of Christ, I'll teach on the grace that is in front of us that we're waiting for. Tom's going to share 2 weeks on that kind of stuff. It's going to be incredible on the grace that is coming toward us in the return of Christ. That's predictive, but all you're sharing is God's word. It's never, I got a gift to predict things. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with saying, I'm going to tell you what's coming ahead and what's going on and what is that. No, I'm just going to speak forth the word of God, the word of truth, his truth. There might be some predictions in it. And back then, they're speaking the word of God before it's written. Yeah, there might be some things that are predicted in it, but that's what the gift of prophecy is. That's so important to know, so important to understand. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:3 with me. Look at this real quickly. Look at what Paul says here. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says this, and we'll get into this as we go there. But one who prophesies speaks forth the word of God, even before it's written. Now, guess what? Revelation is all done. I can't speak forth anything but what God's word's already been written. Okay, back then, it hadn't been written yet, but I can't speak forth. All I can speak forth is the revelation in this book. No new revelation, only the revelation that's in this book. And listen to what he says. But the one who speaks forth, prophesies, the word of God, speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. Let me ask you, what builds you and me up? What grows me and you? What exhorts, encourages, spurs you and me on? What consoles you? What comforts you? Truth, amen? Truth of God's word. The truth of God found in his word. You and me are to know it, to learn it, to apply it. God has given to the church people gifted to proclaiming all of it. The variety of ministries, pastors, teachers, counselors, Bible study leaders, evangelists, the effects of the variety of effects, they're unending. See what we're learning here? The last one we're going to look at is the gift of discernment. We'll get into tongues as we get into chapter 14. He says there's another that has been given in the church, gift of the Holy Spirit, distinguishing of spirits, gift of discernment. Psalm 119:66 says, Lord, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Do you believe in God's commandments? You guys believe in God's commandments? Do you want good discernment? And do you want good knowledge of those commandments? Do you want to be able to discern how they apply in your life? You want to be discerned when it says, you know, you need to encourage one another and then admonish one another and correct one another. You want discernment when that goes on? Do you want to know when you need to spur your child on to when you need to correct your child? Do you want the knowledge of God? Do you want discernment on how that functions out, on when you... Well, that's what he's talking about. All of us want that. All of us want good discernment. All of us need to grow and learn good discernment. Philippians 1:9 says this, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. I want to learn what it looks like to really love the body of Christ in real knowledge and real truth and in the realness of God's word, and I want to have discernment on how God wants to use that in my life. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Raise your hand if you want to discern good and evil. Hey, there we go. We're participating in that, right? We want to discern, right? We want to have good discernment. God has gifted some of the church to discern what's true of him, what's not true of him, what's between good and evil. We all learn it. We all grow. We all have the ability to look at it, but God has given some of the church to help us with discernment. Listen, not everything out there is of Christ. Amen? There's a variety of things that are out there that aren't Christ. There's a variety of ministries that this works in. What are we to be involved in? What are we to participate with, partner with? What books to use, materials that we teach with and use, ministries to be involved with, conferences to go through? And he gives pastors, teachers, elders, leaders in the body of Christ discernment, because it's vital to the building of his body of Christ. It's vital to the church. He gives it to others in the church, discernment.
So we know that it's God's way, God's truth. I need protected. You need protected? That would be the variety of effects, to guard, to protect, to nurture, to care, to not let the wolves in. Now, here's an important part of it. You can't get critical with it. It's not a critical spirit. Oh, they don't line up. That isn't perfect to the doctrine that I see. It's this of God and how God wants us to learn his word and his truth and live his way. Yes, it might be a little different than us, but we need to have the discernment that God is at work here. You see the gifts, how they flow here? You see what God's wanting us to learn and have an important understanding of? That there's gifts in the body of Christ? You know what? Some of that would be melded together and they'd function together, right? Some of them with the word of wisdom, some with the word of knowledge, some with faith, some with prophecy, some with discernment. All of it melding together, working together to build his church. But God is the source. He's the one guiding and leading. So there's a variety of gifts. Look at verse 11 and we'll close with this. There's a variety of gifts given by God's sovereign will. Look at verse 11. This is what he wants us to completely understand and know. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. God says he works all these in Ephesians 5. God's word says he works all things after the counsel of his will. That word will, same will here, is decree, decision. It's not desire. It's not want. There is the decreed will of God that will happen. There is the will of God, the decreed will of God that is going to come about. A decision that he made that he doesn't have anything going to change that decision because it's a decision that he has made. That's the word here. Will here is not desire, but decree. God, by his unchangeable will, decided what gifts you would have, and the Holy Spirit works them all. That's the same word as in chapter 6 that says effects. He affects them all to bring about God's decided outcome by the use of those gifts. That's what that passage says. And he individually distributed them to you, 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 knowing, understanding that he's going to work and bring out his decreed will through you and me. That's what that says. Well, why in the world would we think that we should do something to conjure up these gifts or seek after something that God wants, you know, that we're supposed to go have or find or get, and somehow we think we can do better than what God has decreed? And that's what the Corinthians were doing. And so for us, as we conclude today, and as this is on our heart and mind, God has decreed in heaven the gifts he wants to use through your life. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. He wants you to use them for people to see Christ, for people to know Christ, for people to grow in their relationship with Christ, for people to have a walk with the Lord, for God's church to be built. He's decreed it. He's dispensed it individually as he wills. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? Talk about thankful that God is in our lives and knows what we're here for and has purposed us to be a part of something so much greater than you and me. The building of his church, it's eternal. It's forever. That's what Paul wanted to speak to us in our lives today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed for this morning. Yes.
To be with the Lord.
Okay, come up here, Tom.
Okay. I Jeff knows more than I do. So, but I just thought
that's all you know? Okay.
We probably need to pray for her family and everything because I knew her when we first came here and I heard the good stories about her husband's walk with the Lord and all that. But you guys who've been here for a while know about all that. But she's been up, where is it, the Northwest, somewhere with family. So you can just include
her. Will you stand here with me?
Okay.
We can just include it all.
Body of Christ.
Body of Christ. Why don't we all stand?
Okay.
Because we are a family of God. We'll stand together in this. Father, we thank you for today and just, you know, through your word, you encouraging us, Lord, and teaching us to have a clear understanding of the gifts that you've given, that they're to be used for your purposes and for your glory and your good and what you're bringing about the growth and the building of your church. And that we're a part of that,
that you have ordained it that way, Lord, that you are going to work through the people that have come to salvation in you, from the apostles and prophets to pastors, teachers, to all that had come after that. Even Christ prayed that we would be one like Christ and the Father are one. All of us, that we have come from that moment when the message of Christ went out. That you are going to work in our lives to rescue people from the darkness of this life, to minister to us in deep despair and in hard places in life, through one another, to comfort one another, to encourage one another, to do all the things that, that you planned and purposed to do in our lives. And you use us to do that. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of that. Father, we lift up Mary Beth's family, the Price family, and all that they're going through now. I know they're comforted, Lord. Mary Beth loved you. She cherished you. She was a testimony to you. So was David. They have that affirmed in their heart. They know that, Lord. So in a way, they rejoice for the salvation for her. But Lord, whatever you want to do through that, whatever you want to use that moment, this moment of death, you'll use even them to build your church now in those things, Lord, to comfort people, to encourage. Father, I lift up this body of Christ and the many, many different difficult things going on, the challenges that we face, the heartaches, the death that lies in front of us. And I would pray, Lord, that we would recognize and that we would know that you use each one of us to minister to the whole body. Maybe you've orchestrated it that way, that we would be sensitive to each thing going on, and that you would use us, Lord, to build what you have planned to build from the beginning of time, Christ Church. We give you praise in your Son's name. Amen.